Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Would you turn to Matthew 24, please? Matthew 24. Hallelujah. In Matthew 24, in verse 3, let's read this together, please. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us what? Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Take heed that what? No one deceives you. No one deceives you. No one deceives you. No one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," or "I am the Savior," and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Say that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So are we in wars and rumors of wars? Yeah. For nation will rise up against nation, that means ethnic group, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. Are there famines? Are there pestilences? And what about earthquakes? How about 30 in Japan already? 30. 30 earthquakes in a few days. 30. That's pretty phenomenal, isn't it? In various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Why? Because these are areas where sorrows are, isn't there? People losing their lives, sickness and disease. It's happening. And one of the things that the Lord says is don't be deceived and don't let anybody deceive you, because it is our responsibility to know spiritual times and seasons. It is our responsibility. Who else is going to tell the world? And it is definitely happening. He says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be what? Offended. Many will be what? Offended. And will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because they like to take advantage of it. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. The warning is don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Why? Because the warning that darkness will come at any opportunity. Darkness will infiltrate at any opportunity. And we know that that is the kingdom of darkness. One of the things that is on my heart tonight is about the reality of darkness. There is a reality of darkness. And there's multiple levels of darkness. And there's a reality in an unseen realm that is so profound that many people just ignore it. They put up with it. Well, let me tell you, the body of Christ isn't supposed to put up with darkness. It's supposed to bind it. The body of Christ isn't supposed to put up with darkness. It's supposed to cast it out. The body of Christ isn't supposed to put up with darkness. It's supposed to destroy it. See, you and I were called to battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate, by the gifts God's given us, the world and destroy Satan's kingdom. Amen. But there is a reality of darkness. And one of the things that the enemy likes to do in this is to take any opportunity he can to bring offense. Everyone say offense. See, when somebody's offended, it gets them out of position. Has everybody got it? Now, the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. There's nothing wrong with holy anger, but you're not supposed to sin. That's why he says, don't go to bed if you're still angry. You're supposed to forgive. That's why he says, forgive and you'll be forgiven. So in this, the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to cause offense. And the word says many will be offended and will what? Betray one another. Why are they going to betray one another? Because they're offended. Does everybody got it? They're going to betray one another. And then they're going to hate one another and their love is going to grow cold because they're going to hold on to offense. Does everybody got this? Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Reality of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5. The reason why many people get offended is because they believe they've been rejected. Hello? And in this, the enemy is going to try to take any opportunity he can to impose rejection so that you can become offended. And it really brings an individual into bondage. It'll bring an individual into bondage. It brings them into a place of unworthiness. It brings them into a place of bondage, even in fear, insecurities. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Let no one what? Deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So one of the things the enemy's always trying to do is get you out of position, out of obedience position, into disobedience position. Because what you sow is what you reap. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were what? You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no what? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them." So whose responsibility is to expose darkness? Ours. Well, if there's not a reality of darkness, how can you expose it? You know how many parts of the body of Christ still don't believe in devils? It's incredible. But yet, there are churches filled with doctrines of demons. Why? Why is a church filled with doctrines of demons? A church is filled with doctrines of demons because if a demon can't be exposed, he's applying his doctrine there. Come on. If demons are not being exposed, then they're applying their doctrine. And then the one thing is then people wonder why they go through what they go through, or they're not doing what God is asking them to do. Some of them don't even know what God wants them to do. They just go to church, go home, go to work, go to church, go home, go to work, and have no true call or purpose manifesting in their life. Because your call is to battle. If a believer is not battling, then they can't be doing the will of God. Does everybody understand? Every believer is called to battle. Every believer is called to destroy Satan's kingdom. Every believer is called to use the God-given talents that he's given them to infiltrate the world system and to be a light in darkness. Why? Because light always exposes darkness. And in this, there must be a reality of darkness. Now listen, don't get me wrong. It is important. One of the things, and the reason why I said then there's doctrines of demons, is because demonic forces always put limitations. Demonic forces always put what? Limitations. They always limit. They always prevent churches, fellowships, or individuals from going further. That's why even the word says that they're always learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. Having a form of godliness, but denying the what? Power. Because without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you can't go any further. And without the revelation of the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a doctrine of demons there that's putting limitations on the body of Christ. Come on. Is everybody all right? Why? Because reality of darkness isn't real. Salvation is real, but the devil's not. Salvation and God's blessing is real, but a curse is not. The reality that the powers of darkness have come to steal, kill, and destroy and cause division and manipulate individuals to do things they shouldn't do or cause them to stumble in the arena of promotion of flesh. It's amazing to me how many places, you know, they do fundraisers and they have casino night. They do fundraisers, you know, anyways, I'm not going to go into all that, but they have strange fundraisers, let me say that. Because there's no reality of the powers of darkness. There's no reality there. So, you know, they have, a Mardi Gras night. Yeah. Everybody dresses up like a demon or something, you know. They practice Halloween. Because, let me tell you, a place that promotes Halloween has no reality of darkness. They are now promoting a doctrine of demon. It's put a limitation on them. And people will sit in pews, hear the message all their life, and never infiltrate the world system to rescue all the souls that are needed. They have a hard enough time getting to church. Are you listening? But I'm telling you right now, God is raising up. He's bringing conviction. He's changing. He's busting. And he's shaking stuff up. He's shaking stuff up. Listen, if only one of you showed up, you'd hear the same message. It's going forward. Why? Because I know that darkness is real, and I have accountability to God to tell the truth. My purpose is not to keep you in here. My purpose is to tell you the truth. What you choose to do with it is between you and him. My hands are clean. If I got to tell you something in fear that you won't come back, shame on me. Hello. I'm telling you, God is shaking the body of Christ up. He's shaking things up in an area where, you know what, every time there's chaos, it causes unity. You know, when there was chaos in your life, where did you run? Hello? But there's chaos going on. There's a lot of disasters going on. And these people are looking for truth in all kinds of areas. Whether it be at your job, whether it be at a place you go to a store, wherever it may be. The Word tells us that we're to be ready in season and out. But if you're not sensitive to the area that there is the reality of darkness, how are you going to be ready? You'll be taken by surprise. And one of the things, that's how the end. Remember, the devil doesn't send you a letter in the mail and tell you that he's going to attack you on June 15th at 2:15 p.m. He doesn't send postcards out, resident only, you know. He attacks you at any opportunity he can. And one of the areas he wants to attack you in is the area of offense with rejection. Why? Because he does not want you to know that darkness is real. And there must be a reality of darkness in our lives. It says, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is what? So, if I'm not telling you the truth about the powers of darkness, am I exposing the enemy then? No, then I'm not walking in the light, I'm walking in something else. Is everybody okay? In other words, God wants to set off, take off the top, the caps, the limitations that the enemy places on us. These are limitations, and these limitations are established because people do not realize or are sensitive enough that there is the powers of darkness, that there are demons, and they go to the phone instead of the throne. They don't bind the power of darkness. They get bound themselves. Hello. That's why Jesus gave us those keys. In verse 14, therefore he says, awake you who what? Sleep. Awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. I love that. If you really look at it, he says, man, you're dead. Why? Because you can't see darkness. You have no reality of darkness. That means you're dead. You're spiritually, you're a balloon without any air. You're a cloud without any water. Has everybody got it? In this, I'm telling you, there's an awakening. That's why there's a shaking. You know how many people are thinking about how many people are dying in Japan? You don't think that's waking up the world? What about all the nuclear stuff now? Oh, well, we have 27 nuclear plants in this country. What if they all went kaput? Thank God I'm covered by the blood. Hello. Thank God we have the power and authority to change what we breathe. Thank God we have a secret place to hide into. Are you listening? See, but people don't know that. First thing they're going to do is run to the physicians and try and buy medications to protect them. In fact, they don't even have any more of those iodine tablets, which people are taking. I mean, there's nothing wrong with medication. I'm just sharing that they're not going, you know, they won't go to the throne. They'll go to the phone first. But he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. He says, man, you're dead. Why? Because you're not awake. See, if you're not awake, you're dead. But I believe in Jesus. That's good. Follow him. And what did Jesus do? He cast out devils. He raised the dead. Somebody got it. He didn't take no garbage. He walked on water. So you may have to swim a little before you start walking. Praise God. But but you won't have fear of getting in the water. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Everyone say fools. The reason why that there's foolish or fools is because there's doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons always promote limitations. I got to say this again. Believe me, I had no intentions of talking about this. In fact, I wanted to stay home in bed tonight. But the anointing carries me. Hallelujah. He meets me every time. But I can tell you when the service is over, I'm running to my car. But hallelujah. Right now I have the joy of the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to stay right here. Glory. But it's really important that we grab hold of this. Because the enemy has his doctrines and they're in fellowships and churches and in the body of Christ. And those doctrines will put limitations on us. And where there's limitations, the enemy's not exposed. You'll keep blaming everybody else for what you're going through. Well, it's the economy. No, it's a demon. Well, it's this. No, it's the devil. No, it's... Well, you think there's a devil around every corner. That's right. I do. And if you don't believe it, then I'm speaking to one. The world system is run by Satan's kingdom. Hello. So if the world system is run by Satan's kingdom, what are they trying to do? They're trying to take all your money. They're trying to take everything. They're trying to disarm you. They're trying to collapse everything so the one world order falls into place. Why? Because right now, again, we are under the rule. The world, the system is under the rule of Pharaoh, which is being dethroned in preparation for the Antichrist to come in. People can't see that the mark is hanging ready to be released. When people can no longer eat or buy, you don't think people will take a mark right now in Japan? Are you listening? There are many there right now that would say, give me a mark so I can eat. Why? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Think about that. Thank God that the body of Christ is in Japan. Thank God that the body of Christ is in Russia and China. Thank God. But how many will be lost because they don't know? Because of the doctrines of demons. Worshipping false gods and pagan rituals, thinking that burning incense is going to rescue you. There's only one that rescues us, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Therefore, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? The days are evil. 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 You are in evil times. The only time that it won't be evil was when Jesus returns. Then there'll be the Prince of Peace. In the meantime, days are evil. You know, more people are worried about their future. Come on. More people are worried about what they're going to do in the... Well, what about the future? I'm already in it. I'm eternal. What do I care about the future? I'm in it. Today's the future for me. When I leave this room tonight, it's going to be the past. Right now, the present is your future. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Let no one deceive you. Reality, the darkness will take opportunities to deceive you. He says, have no fellowship with darkness. Well, if you have fellowship with darkness, are you giving the enemy a place? Yes, but you're to expose it. So we must stay alert, awake, and aware. Alert, awake, and aware. Alert, awake, and aware of everything that's going on around you. Oh, yes. In other words, you must be alert, awake, and aware of what darkness is doing, spiritually and physically. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Everybody there? Let's read it together. But you are a what? Chosen. A chosen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what? Out of darkness, out of Satan's doctrines, into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from what? Fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to all every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservants of God. In other words, you are a chosen generation. We are called to be priests, aren't we? We are called out of the deception of darkness that is called the world into his light, spiritual sight called faith. In other words, you are to keep your royal conduct among the unbelievers of the world. And the only way to maintain your royal conduct is through the anointing of Christ Jesus. Amen. So would your royal conduct be a witness to others? How do you respond or you react? In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, this is very powerful because I want you to grab something here. He is not resisting the person. He's resisting the act, the attitude. Does everybody got it? It says he resists or he rejects the proud. He's not rejecting the person. He's rejecting the attitude of it. I want you to look at something, because one of the ploys of the enemy is always to bring that, again, that arena of offense, which he establishes by rejection. So many times people get offended because they think they've been rejected, but they really haven't been rejected. Maybe their works were. Hello. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. He didn't say he resisted the person, did he? He resisted the act associated with the person. In other words, if my daughter chose to disobey and think she can just get away with everything, would I give her what she wanted? No. But I'm not rejecting her. I love her unconditionally. God loves us unconditionally. But I'm not going to give her something that's going to cause her harm. So I'm not rejecting her, I'm rejecting her actions. So when her actions fall in line that are safe in her life, then I will release things. And then that's how God operates with us. Now, she may get very well offended, run up to her room and slam the door. That's when you just take the door off. No, you ain't got nothing to slam. No, I'm not rejecting her. I don't want to hear no door slam. See, we've got to begin to look the way God looks at us. He's not rejecting us. He's rejecting our goofiness, foolishness, things that cause us harm or can cause harm to others. That's why he says, awake, the days are evil, man. You got to have a reality of darkness. You got to know who's manipulating you. You got to know what you're hearing. You got to know what you're seeing. Oh, glory. And glory. Why? He says, therefore humble yourselves in verse 6 under the mighty hand of God. That means submit, doesn't it? That means humble yourself. That he may exalt you in due time. So does God want to exalt you in due time? And the word exalt here doesn't mean he's going to put you on a platform and parade you around the country. Oh, look at my child. No. It means he's going to release a promise. It means he's going to what? Release a promise. That doesn't mean he's going to exalt you. It means he's going to release a promise to you that's going to encourage you. Hallelujah. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for what? You. Now here it goes again, because here is a fruit, isn't it? Well, a person that's prideful always tries to fix everything themselves. And they usually make a mess of it. I'll fix it. Oh, you and I can't fix nothing. That's why he says, acknowledge me in all of your ways now. I'll direct your paths, right? So without acknowledging him, that means we're doing it in our own strength. And then what usually happens is the enemy comes in because it's not working. And he says, well, if God really loved you, if he really loved you, he would give you this. He would answer this prayer right now. Oh, he's rejecting you. Oh, God doesn't love me anymore. I'm lonely, woe is me, and everything else. Because the enemy loves to bring you to you. If he can bring you to you, you can't see him. Come on, are you getting this? Good. It says, verse 8, be what? Sober. Hello. Do you know that people, when you're involved in the world, you get drunk? It's called the drink of delusion. The more you're involved in the world, the more you get more delusional. And you become less sensitive to the things of God and more sensitive to self. Do you ever get around somebody that it's like walking on eggshells? You never know when they're going to poof. Well, because in that arena, that person is still holding on to offense of rejection. There's insecurities there. And it's been promoted and established by darkness. It's been promoted by darkness. There was an opportunity that an individual in an individual's life, that the enemy had an opportunity to grab hold and manifest in their life. And they came in agreement with it. We'll talk a little bit more about it. That's why he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the who? Devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. In other words, he does not send you out postcards telling you when he's going to attack you. It says, resist him steadfast in the what? In the what? Faith. Is faith blind? No, faith says you are spiritually able to see. Resist him steadfast. And if so can, now look again. There, if there's not a reality of darkness, can you resist him? No. You just, you know, the devil be standing right next to you, pickpocketing you, emptying your wallet, stealing everything out of your house, walking out the front door, and you'll still be looking for your keys because he loves to blind you. See, the reality of darkness, there must be a reality. That's why we must be sober, sensitive. Things spiritually are the reality of darkness and physically. Praise God. Resist them steadfast in the faith, that spiritual sight, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So is everybody going to get attacked by the devil? Yes. Anybody tells me the devil doesn't attack them is demonized. Believe me, the devil's living in you rent-free. Come on, are you all right? Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us, and what's our calling? What's your call? What are you called to? Battle! Who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yes. Praise God. Hosea 4:6. Yeah, you know we were getting there tonight. Reality of darkness, you know Hosea 4:6 has got to get in there. Hosea 4:6. Is everybody there? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Is knowledge truth? He said, because you have rejected the knowledge of the truth. Now, does the Bible talk about the devil? Yeah, so if you're not talking, if the enemy is not being exposed, then you're not telling the truth, are you? If there's not a reality of darkness, then there's not truth being expressed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, lack of truth, and because you reject the knowledge of God, you reject the truth, I will also reject you from being a what? Priest. Now, did he reject the person or the office? The office. Come on. He said, I'm going to reject you from being a what? Priest. What he's saying, you cannot fulfill this position because you don't know the truth. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. Why are your children going to be forgotten? They're not going to be literally forgotten. Does everybody got this? What's going to happen is because you forget your children because no one told them the truth. So if they don't know the truth about the devil and how to fight, what's going to happen to your children? They're going to go astray. So it's going to have a sense that God has forgotten our children. Does everybody got it? Oh, you can go to church. Yeah, you can go to church. You can do all the rituals, but never tell your children about the devil. Never tell them how to cast out a devil. Never share with them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Never share these certain things about walking in the power of God Almighty. And they're going to look like God forgot them. So destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yeah, because they did not learn the truth. In Psalm 107, verse 10. Reality of darkness. So when they reject the truth, they sit in darkness, don't they? Those, in verse 10, who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they what? Rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in what? Pieces. Why? Because when they were in darkness, they were bound. The enemy's always looking for an opportunity to bind you up. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. In other words, because of their fellowship with darkness. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. So they sat in darkness because they rejected the truth. In other words, they rebelled against his word and they despised his counsel. They rebelled against his word and they despised his counsel. But he was waiting for them to do something, repent and turn. And then he answered them and gave them another opportunity. The whole thing is you don't want to die in darkness, because that's where you'll end up. In Genesis chapter 4, the reality of darkness. Again, the enemy's always looking for an open door of rejection so you can get offended. You know, so many people are looking at, well, I didn't drink, I didn't fornicate. You know, I'm not rolling the dice no more. I don't go gamble anymore. I don't do this anymore. I don't do that anymore. Yeah, well, are you offended?
No, I just hate them.
Oh. I'd say you're still offended. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, is everybody there? Is everybody okay? See, so many times we're looking for the big sin. The big one. What's the big one? They're all, the sin is sin, right? All, the wages of sin leads to death. I only fornicate on weekends. But I repent every Monday. Oh, that's good. So it's premeditated. So I want you to understand that there is no forgiveness. Has everybody got it? There's no forgiveness on premeditated sin. Hello? Until the person stops it. When the person stops it, then God forgives them. But if a person fornicates every weekend, knows that they're going to fornicate every weekend, plans to fornicate every weekend, and plans to repent every Monday, that person is not forgiven. That is premeditated sin. And until that person stops, because to repent means to turn. In other words, when you repent for your sin, it means I need another chance. And what you said is, I'm turning from it, and I'm walking away. There's forgiveness. But you can't premeditate sin and expect to get forgiveness. Let's get this straight. Praise God. In verse 3, in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So did God reject Cain? No. Did he reject his offering? Yes. But it says his countenance fell, right? So was he offended? Yes. Come on, are you getting this? Now, in verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? In other words, I didn't reject you. You knew what pleases me. Now just do it. I won't reject you. In fact, The reason why I listen, there's a surprise for you when you do the right thing. Because obedience always has a return. Of course, so does disobedience. You know. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do what? If you do well, if you do the right thing, if you bring the correct offering, will you not be what? Accepted. And if you do not do well, what? Sin lies at the door. In other words, darkness is looking for an opportunity. This is powerful. Sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should rule over it. But you should, in other words, there's an opportunity. The enemy is looking for an opportunity. Darkness is looking for an opportunity. If you don't make it real, he's going to rule over you. So here's the opportunity. I am not rejecting you, so don't be offended. I'm trying to get something to you, but I can't get this to you because you're not falling in my divine order. And if it's not in divine order, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he was telling Cain, I'm not rejecting you, but if you'll do the right thing, everything's going to fall into place. You're going to receive the blessing. Now, if you don't do the right thing, you're going to allow opportunity of darkness. And believe me, he wants you. His desire is for you because he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. Let's see what happens here. Now Cain talked with Abel, verse 8, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So obviously, Cain figured that if, because the door of opportunity of the devil accessed him, didn't it? So the Lord already warned him that sin lies at the door and he desires for you. So obviously, because the enemy had access to him, Cain figured, well, I'll just kill the right thing and God will accept mine. Does everybody get this? See, this is how the enemy makes people think. I'll just kill it, get rid of it, and then God will accept what I have. See, but you can't alter God. He doesn't change. Look at what happened with Adam and Eve, right? Remember, Eve fell. Adam fell. And then the Lord came in and said, okay, what's going on here? Where are you at, Adam? Adam says, I'm hiding. Okay, why are you hiding? Well, because I was afraid. Well, who told you that? So the opportunity, the enemy accessed Adam, accessed Eve. Eve brought it to Adam. Everybody fell. But then the Lord said to Adam, okay, so what happened? And what did he first do? My wife. She did it. And then he went over to the wife, and she said, the serpent did it. So everybody was trying to blame. No, nobody took responsibility. They figure, I'm going to get rid of that one, and I'll look good. Hello? This is no different than what Cain did. And you got to understand, the reason why they did that is because they feared rejection. But God wasn't rejecting them. He was rejecting what they did. How many times have you been offended by people or something in your life somewhere along the line where you were offended because you sensed that somebody rejected you or that God rejected you? Now, people will reject people, but God doesn't reject people. He just rejects the act. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. And you just can't go kill your spouse and look good before God, man. You cannot kill your boss and look good before God. Don't work that way. Go to 1 Samuel 15. And you certainly can't kill your children. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 12. Everybody getting this? I'm telling you, it's a ploy of the enemy. He wants to get you offended. It's going to be established by rejection. And let me tell you, the guilt, condemnation, and every other thing is around it. Woe is me, loneliness. I'm lonely. Well, who told you that? I thought God's with you.
Oh, yeah, he's on vacation.
No, you're on vacation. 1 Samuel 15, 12. Let's read it. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for what? Himself. Saul did. Nice. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone to under Gilgal. So Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." So Saul was all happy, built himself a monument, and he believed he obeyed God. But Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God." He didn't say my God, he said your God. Hello. "And the rest we have utterly destroyed." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet." In other words, shut up, idiot. "And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel?" In other words, when you were humble. "And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep, oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." Now again, Saul was not rejected. He was being ejected from his office. Has everybody got it? Saul was being ejected from being king. God did not reject Saul. He just said, "You're history for the kingship. I've got someone to replace you." Now look at verse 24. "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I what? Feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord.' But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.'" Again, he did not reject Saul. He rejected him, or ejected him, from kingship. Has everybody got it? See, God doesn't reject us. He may eject us, but he doesn't reject us. In other words, you may lose position, but he does not. Is everybody okay? So Saul rejected the word of the Lord, and God rejected him from kingship. Again, not the person he rejected. God provided healing to Saul. Now listen, down the road, now God anointed David. He had David hang out with Saul. So Saul was playing, David was playing the music, and Saul was being healed. God provided healing to Saul, but Saul opened up more darkness by going to the psychics to try to speak to Samuel. And the end result was Saul ended dead, because he was offended. The enemy convinced him he was rejected by God, and he wanted to make things right. But God did not reject him. He just removed him from kingship. And when he removed him from kingship, God provided healing for him, but he rejected the healing. And he tried to fix it himself, so he went to a psychic, a medium, and tried to talk to Samuel to find out what was going on. Of course, Samuel spoke to him and said, "God rejected you. You from king. You lost the kingdom." So many times people will go to somewhere else because the offense, they begin to seek something else out because they've been offended. You know, the Bible says God chastens those he loves, doesn't he? So many times people run because they didn't like what they heard, because they got offended. I've seen so many people get offended because they believe that they've been rejected, but they haven't been rejected. They're taking it personal. You can't take it personal. You must take it as correction, not personal. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Matthew 18 and verse 4. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believed in me to what? Sin or fellowship with darkness, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame and maimed rather than to have two hands and two feet, but be cast into everlasting fire. So he's sharing that certain things. In other words, one of the things that the enemy loves to do is molest children. Certain things that individuals have done, he loves to get children. In other words, the enemy tried to attack you, whether it be molestations or offenses where you sensed rejection. There could be abuse verbally. So when you were a child, the enemy always tried to get someone to say to you, you're no good, you're this. What was he trying to do? Bring offense in so that you would put up protective barriers. And that's all you were doing was protecting self, which is the offspring of darkness. So self had dominion. So every time that God was trying to deal with you or whatever, those barriers would go up. Those protective walls come up. Need to protect myself. Easily offended. The reason why a person, again, is easily offended is because there's an open door of the enemy that hasn't been shut. Could be from childhood. Why? Because that sense of rejection always opens the door to offense. Is everybody okay? So no matter, things just didn't go right. Well, my husband said this, or my wife said this, or my boss said this, and you felt, oh, man, I'm just nothing. It's because you sense rejection, but that's not true. The enemy tries to reject you. God doesn't. God loves us unconditionally. What God rejects is the things that we might be doing, but he never rejects us. Is everybody okay? I want to go somewhere real quickly. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. This might make it a little bit clearer. Is everybody getting this? So if you're one that drops eggshells, if you're one that's easily offended, you know, you can look in the mirror. You know when you're offended. You know, people say something, rah, 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 easily offended.
Oh, you just don't love me anymore.
It's because there's an open door of rejection. And God is not rejecting you. The enemy rejects you. The only thing God rejects is the works that we may be doing that are hurting us or hurting somebody else. It's called correction and chastening. In James chapter 1, and verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. All right, here we go. So how does that desire come? Thought. A thought. A desire comes by a thought. It could be a remembrance from the past, but it's always something with a thought. You know, everything is done by memory. You wouldn't be in here if there wasn't memory. Even your taste buds are associated with memories. Amen. You can look at something and taste it and not taste it because it's memory. Everything is associated with memory. So desires are established by memories. This is a life of memory. Remember? He said so. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So what's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to tempt you to bring up a memory that promotes a desire. Then when desire has what? Conceived. In other words, when you've agreed with it, when you agree with it, it gives birth to sin or the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. What happens here is when the enemy, because remember, sin lies at the door. The presence of evil lies at the door. Darkness lies at the door. What's he trying to do? He's trying to entice you, isn't he? Through a thought. He's trying to promote a desire. One of the things he loves to do is promote rejection. So when there's rejection, there's offense. Now I want you to listen to this. Because when you agree with it, you become offended, don't you? When you agree with it. Well, when you agree with it and become offended, you just agreed and invited that demon in you. Now there's a spirit of offense. And it will begin to manifest its fruit. Moody. Person's moody because of rejection. Where there's moody, where a person is up and down all the time, it's because the spirit is there. Why? Because the devil has tempted them with a thought. It's promoted a desire. When they accepted it and agreed with it, the demon accessed them. So everybody got it. It gives birth to what? Sin. Well, that means you're giving birth to the presence of evil, aren't you? You know, when we were out there drinking and drugging and fornicating and all kinds of stuff, the enemy is going to try. Look, at when somebody offends someone, what's the first, when somebody rejects someone or offends someone, what's the first thoughts that start coming in the minds of somebody who was an addict? Going back to use again. Hello. Why? Because sin lies at the door. When a wife and husband have a big blowout or something like that, thank God those days are over. What's the enemy enticing? Go have an affair. Hello? Now, if you agree with it, you've opened yourself up to the devil. And believe me, you'll do the act. Because that demon has to get fed unless you get rid of it before you commit the act, which is a transgression. Remember, the demons have to get fed, and they get fed by your emotions. See, so these things also open up, reattach emotional attachments to a person. So that mood of that individual is always attached there because of an open door to the devil. Sin lies at the door. Darkness lies at the door. And his desire is for you because there's not a reality of darkness in many people's lives. There may be a reality of darkness with drugs, alcohol, fornication, but there's not the reality of darkness in the area of offense, which is promoted by rejection. Go to Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. So when a person is in that state or that mode, what we call mode, of rejection, you know, is that person oppressed or happy? He's oppressed. She's oppressed. Whatever it is. Then there's a woe is me syndrome. Acts chapter 10. We must have this reality of darkness that's more than what is the big sin. In verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Whoever fears him and works righteousness. Whoever fears him and works righteousness. In other words, there'll be a sense of acceptance because God is releasing things. The words which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, that word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So remember, the devil is trying to oppress you. He'll try to oppress you with offense by being rejected. The devil wants you to believe that you are rejected by God. But God, again, is not rejecting you. He may reject your works, the things you may be doing, that we may call them displeasing to him, but they're displeasing to him because it's harmful to you. So everybody got it. But he's not rejecting you. Hebrews 12. And we'll close here. I have a lot more. But I think the point has gotten across. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. You know, many people come to a church or come to a fellowship and they're afraid that they won't be accepted. They're afraid they won't be accepted. Isn't it pretty amazing? They're afraid they won't be accepted. Well, you know what? Don't care what man thinks about you. God will never reject you. Isn't that the most important thing? Other than that, who gives a hoot? If God's not going to reject you, but there's things in your life that are being rejected, but not you, then you need to tighten those things up. What's the problem? Well, then the reality of darkness isn't there. Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne. Was Jesus rejected? Oh, man. Did he take it personal? No. Then why are you? Why are we? Don't take it personal. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Look at this. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls or oppressed. You have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons and daughters. My child, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every child whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with children. For what child is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which of you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not his children. So you can expect correction, not rejection. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down. Why are they hanging down? Because they believe they've been rejected. Praise God. It's not because of Darwin, you know. It's because they feel they've been rejected, okay? Yeah. Therefore, strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. This is powerful. Who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that after when he wanted to what? Inherit the blessing. He was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. In other words, Esau was not rejected. What was rejected from him was the blessing to inherit because he had already sold it. And because he sold it, God could not get it back for him. So everybody got it. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words so that those who heard it begged with the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as the beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, a mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Of Abel. So please understand, you are not rejected by God. The devil wants to impart rejection to you, so offense is established. If you find yourself in mood swings all the time, up and down, oppressed or whatever, you know that you've got a spirit, and it's a spirit of oppression, established by rejection and manifested in offense. Make no place for the devil. This is where there must be a reality of darkness. It's not the big sin. The Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Amen. Praise God. That's why the Lord says forgive. Let it go. Sever it. Cut loose. Get rid of the emotional attachment and his friends. Stop giving free rent to demons in your house. Get rid of them. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Again, we ask for your forgiveness of every area where we have accepted and agreed with rejection and opened the door to the enemy and have been oppressed or been offended. Again, we forgive and bless all who've offended us in any way whatsoever, knowing that we were not rejected by you, but corrected. So we ask at this time that you'd loose us from every emotional attachment of these spirits of rejection, spirits of offense, and spirits of oppression from this day forward, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.